welcome to the Max Show. Yes, I'm sorry we've been absent for a couple of weeks, but we had the bash, which was fantastic. And Chris Woods is still messing around with the bloody audio. He hasn't even got to do video, so, but he's still messing around with it. I've got to give him some music yet before he can top and tail it and then post it. We will be posting the Max Show from the bash, I promise, because it was another Will Green special. And we missed last week because I just had way too much happening. But this week, well, we've come back with a bit of a bang, I would suggest, because the panel is exclusive, nay, brilliant. Top left, we've got Mr. Brian Chaffin. How you doing, sir?
I am doing very, very well. Thank you for having me.
You're way too chipper, dude.
I got like 7.5 hours of sleep last night. Oh. I never get that much sleep on a weekday. Ever.
Oh man, what's the difference then? What do you need to replicate for that?
To have gotten 2 hours of sleep the night before.
Okay, so you just need to be super tired and then you get sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's going to help much, but
no, it's
okay,
not.
Fair enough. Joining us for the first time, new boy who's coming to the place where careers come to die, Chris Breen. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm well, thank you, and I'm glad to hear that this is the end of my career.
Oh, so we've utterly
I'll try
screwed.
To go on bang.
We've got the trail of tech celebrities that we have in our wake is huge. We've got Merritt, we've got Natco. They've all been here and failed.
Who?
Really? Okay, good.
Those boys, they don't know anything.
I'll do my worst.
Good man. Excellent. Great to have you on, sir. Thank you very much. I haven't seen you much since Macworld, but superb effort. We were talking about the All-Star gig beforehand, and Mr. Chaffin is always he's always lusting after your keyboard skills.
It's true.
Well, you know, and I admire his singing skills. When you need to hit a high note, Brian's the guy to
That's
do
when
it.
You went to the loo, though, wasn't it? I remember that one. That was guitar, drum, and bass. That was a bit more Rush than it was Stevie Wonder. next, Adam, welcome return, mate. A sparse room. Hey. Tell us more.
What?
Sparse room. Tell us more.
Sparse room.
Yeah, there's hangings are missing.
Oh yeah, the stuff on the shelves that's normally there. Yeah, I bought a new house, so I'm going to be moving. So stuff's getting cleared off.
Oh,
the
damn.
Clock's still there, though.
Damn you. So silly me. I'm moving house. You bought a pool.
Yeah, we bought a house with a pool.
That's awesome.
It also has a big built-in barbecue kitchen thing that I'm excited about.
Just in time for water restrictions in California, too. That's good timing, sir.
Yeah, it'll cost me a lot. It just means I have to pay more.
There's a bit of a drought at the moment. Okay, a bit of a drought.
Right.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily the pool was already full, and we don't plan on taking the water out, so it'll just be what evaporates, unfortunately.
Oh, I'd be changing that water out. You don't want to be swimming in your previous owner's water. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're probably going to have a poo in it and leave it for you floating, so that you get it on day one.
I think it'll be okay.
You got it. I've bought a house in the past, and I've turned up to move in day one. You're over the moon. You're absolutely happy, and there's a floater in the pan. It's just not good enough. But they do that kind of thing. That. What are you going to do?
We call that a feature out here, though.
Floaters. Floaters
yeah,
are
on the
a
bill,
feature.
You know, when you're looking at a new house, it's you know.
Breen's on his first show, and he's dubbed the show title already. Dude, you're a god.
Thank you.
And last, but by no means least, Sir William Green.
Sorry, chap.
How is the new job?
Oh, it's very good. I'm really enjoying it.
Really? Because you were a bit pissed off at the end of the last one, and you were worried that it was going to be. You weren't sure, but.
No. Absolutely love it. I used to be a professional piano player, and every time I walked into a pub with my piano, everybody would comment on my large organ, which always made me very happy.
Oh dear, we've hit the level.
What? Playing, what's wrong with that?
Playing with Will's old organ. The show titles are coming thick and fast.
In less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, good man. Exactly. we've got a sweep on the first bleep.
Well, how is everybody anyway?
We're all right, mate. As long as you're all right. I've got to say thank you very much for the effort for coming in, because I thought you may not make it because it's past bedtime and stuff like that. Not for but for the kids.
It is Betty Boy's time, if I'm honest, and I probably will have to duck out and then come back in again for 10 minutes.
Okay.
But
you could read us all the story, of course. That would be something.
What story?
The story, the bedtime story. You could all read us the story.
We're going through Enid Blyton's Faraway Tree at the moment.
Okay, well, that's a bit long maybe for a podcast. I was thinking more along the lines of Jack and Jill, but never mind. Bronwyn wants to know what's a floater. I thought that was pretty universal.
No, Bronwyn does not.
Which floats?
I thought that was pretty universal, I have to say. Having a floater. There we go. The week in Apple. Apple have turned in the results. Huzzah. Someone reported that Apple have lined up with Swatch to make a fantastic iWatch. And then 2 days later, they said that it's all utter bunkum. What's been going on? Yosemite was released today, wasn't it, as well? If you were on the request for the public beta, the first 1 million people, you got that as well as.
I haven't got that.
Well, did you
I put my bloody name down? And I haven't got it. Where's mine?
Well, it's only the first 1 million, mate, and I'm guessing that's gone faster than a WWDC ticket.
Oh.
Did you get confirmation you were in the top 1 million?
I don't know. I suddenly applied for it, and I never got I didn't get a reply. Thing is, right, here it is.
All right. Okay. Go for it, Greeny. Start us off with the first rant, dude. Go on.
Well, no, all I'm saying is, what's the operating system at the moment called? Ridiculous name.
Mavericks.
Mavericks. I mean, it's like it's got to be possibly the worst operating system that Apple has ever released, and it's no wonder that they're giving this new version out for free. What do you think?
Well, they gave Mavericks out for free.
Yeah, because he's shit. That's why. He would possibly pay for it. I mean, I'm not being funny. I would pay for it. If I did pay for it, I'd want me.
Mavericks is fantastic.
I love Mavericks.
What is wrong with Mavericks?
Go on, Greeny, give us a list.
But it crashes. I get all sort of weird pixelations across my screen. It's just bloody awful. It's just, I don't know. What is good about Mavericks then? Let's turn this sucker around. You tell me.
It is quite stable. Felt like the first operating system in a long time that Apple
did. You just try and justify Mavericks with the word quite stable? You should have said really stable. Let's hit the superlatives here, man. Let's hit the
tomato,
superlatives.
Tomato.
Okay. So it's massively stable. Go on.
It is massively stable. I found it to be extraordinarily stable, personally.
There you go.
I think that the interface tweaks, the look and feel of Mavericks is the best looking version of OS X we've ever had. It feels extremely usable, and I felt like with Lion and Mountain Lion both that Apple was like taking away too much functionality, and it's really annoying me. I think it's gorgeous.
There you go, Chris Breen.
I think it's fine.
Oh,
perfectly fine. I think its mail client is not fine.
Mail's been crap forever.
Yeah, and that seems odd to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got this email client, which is one of the most basic things that your computer is supposed to do, and Apple just can't seem to get mail right. It's funky with funky in not a good sort of James Brown way, but in a bad way. With Google, and it's terrible with Exchange, and I think that's Apple's fault. I don't think it's Microsoft's fault.
Mail is funky in a Berlioz way.
Yeah. Yeah, so I keep hoping that it's going to get better, and then it doesn't. And I'm actually using Outlook because I'm just not happy with mail.
The crappy trinity of Apple has always been address book, calendar, and mail. They've always been the crappy trinity, and they've never improved. They've never got any better.
I know I'm the exception, but I've lucked out somehow with mail, and I use mail with Gmail. I don't use it with Exchange, so I can't speak to that. That may be messed up, but I know it has its Gmail issues, but they don't seem to affect me too much. But
I think mail's.
I get it.
Okay, but
I'm the exception.
But I think we're all agreed that mail's crap, and no one's going to disagree with you there on that one, Greeny. Mail in every Mac OS has been crap, so that doesn't work. But I've got to say, I've put Mavericks on the Mac Minis that run the Skype wall, and they run better on that than they ever did on Leopard. They run far better on Mavericks than they ever did on Leopard.
How about all my files?
You mean Mountain Lion?
No, I had them on Leopard.
Wow.
They're old Macs. They're old Mac Minis. They're the original Core 2 Duos. And they run on, I think they are, and they run on, I've got Mavericks on them, and they run beautifully. They're slick as snot.
Hmm.
I mean, my old 2008 MacBook Pro up here, that runs on Mavericks as well, and that's slick as snot. It's a very light operating system compared to Lion, I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it hogs CPU cycles. I've heard that
from more than one person.
Yeah. Especially on the old machines. I think it's really good. On your new machine, however, Will, you think it's bad. Have you reinstalled it, mate?
No. It's a relatively modern MacBook Pro, and I hate it. Absolutely hate it. It's terrible.
So based on the fact that you hated Mountain Lion as well on your old MacBook Pro, I'm working on the fact that you emit an aura which basically just screws up Macs.
Well, I don't know.
Well, let's eliminate here. Let's do a scientific study. Have you ever had a Mac OS that you hated, that did work?
OS 9.
Oh, God.
9?
Oh.
I think that we now have all the answers we need.
Yep. We're done. Move on.
Yeah, everyone, I loved OS 9. Oh.
But it's the All My Files thing as well. That can be terribly embarrassing. You can't, if you open up a Finder window and it defaults to the All My Files.
Turn that off. That is crap.
But dude, the other thing is don't store porn on your work computer.
I didn't say anything about porn, you perverted devil.
Yeah, you said you've got it on the screen up and you're giving a management presentation. You open All My Files and it's got pictures there right on the... Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Greeny. The green aura, Windrider says.
Well, I think you're reading a lot more into this and your perverted imagination than I actually mentioned. Anyway,
Have you checked your chakras
recently?
Have I done what Adam? Have we done what?
Has Will checked his chakras recently?
Oh, good point. Go for a bit of Reiki, mate.
Yeah. Well, we get a new moon in 2 days, so it'll all be good.
Right, that'll be good. Let's leave moon phases alone, because that got us in trouble the other week.
Why did it?
Are you guys all registered as developers? Moving on. Are you guys all registered as developers so you got Yosemite anyway? Or did any of you subscribe to the public beta and get in the lottery and win?
I'm in the developer programs.
I'm in both, and actually with the public beta, you're not going to get a confirmation. You just go to the beta site, sign in, and scroll down the page, and it will say, here's your redeem code. Click on it, and then wait forever.
Right, Chris, top tip now. If you know the answer to Greeny's question and you know he's utterly wrong, please intervene sooner so it saves us from the utter crap that comes out of his mouth for 5 minutes till we get to you with sense.
But I thought as like the new kid here, I thought I would kind of, you know, see the lay of the land. See how right he is, and then next time I'll try to jump in.
Will's land is in the sky, dude. Jesus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, God.
Well, why do you have him on then?
Oh, he's ballast, mate, for everyone else.
Entertaining.
Oh. Got it.
He's just here, otherwise I'm a Brit on my own with a bunch of Yanks. Red coats and blue coats, and it gets all a bit funny. I mean, 2 months down the line now with Yosemite, any of you used it and saying, yeah, okay, it's not the glitchy first beta that came out. It's now really is worth having at public level. Or is it still a bit kaflooey?
I'm just going to chime in and say that I haven't installed it yet. Both of my Macs are currently work machines, both mission critical, and I do not think that Yosemite is mission critical ready yet. So I don't have an opinion. However, Dave Hamilton has been using it, and he confirms that it's not mission critical ready. And there are lots of things that don't yet work as they are not expected to work at this point.
Right. Okay.
How about the photo app? Is that up and running?
I do not know. Chris?
We are all trying to carefully protect our NDAs, which is what Brian is really saying.
Okay.
I will say that I had a dream, and in my dream, the Photos app was not yet available. Also in my dream, I understood that this really was a beta, and unlike like the Google stuff where they say, oh, this is a beta, and then it's beta forever. In my dream, this is a real beta, which means there are things that in my dream are unfinished and things that in my dream do not work well with other applications that work under Mavericks. So in your dream, I would suggest that if you do get the copy of the Yosemite public beta that you do the right thing, not put it on a mission critical Mac, make sure that you can get back to Mavericks if you need to for real work, and expect that things are not going to work, and then be a good citizen and file your beta reports.
Oh,
it really doesn't work. And not like, I'm really pissed off about this and I hate you for doing this, but rather say, oh, you know, I noticed this doesn't work and here's why.
I would suggest at some point as well, you can't get the beta and then just carry on. It'll roll over to the real thing. At some point, they're going to do what they do with developers, and that beta will stop, and that machine will be useless 30 days after that support stops, and you'll have to put the proper Mavericks on it. It won't just upgrade.
Well, I think what they've said is that when the public beta gets, I mean, when the real thing comes out, it will just pop up in the Mac App Store as an update.
Yep.
So you'll update the beta. Okay, that's because that's, I mean, as developers, you tend to find that a lot of the OSs will just stop, and then you have to completely install the new. It's not an upgrade at that point.
It sounds like they're moving.
I need to chime in with something here. I believe that Apple's relaxed rules on what we can discuss actually allow us to discuss these things in beta.
They've never enforced the NDA anyway. So
yeah, but there's a difference between enforcing it and being honorable, as Chris is the consummate gentleman, and actually being allowed to discuss it now. And I think that we're allowed, aren't we, Chris?
I haven't read the 75 pages of restrictions that we're under. I just tend to be, like you say, I think there's always the tendency when something like this comes out to start judging it, and it's not fair because it's not done. I think we can talk about things that Apple has shown, but not evaluate them.
I've always said, we've come on here and said about, you know, well, it's glitchy. But yeah, but it's a beta. So and day one, everyone tried it and said, well, yeah, it's great, but it's glitchy. Well, okay, what do you expect? Yeah. Adam, you had something to say there, mate.
No, I would just generally agree with what everybody was saying. I'm running it on a MacBook Air that I have a second machine, and I don't think I've upgraded since the first beta. So I will say they've done a great job at continuing to roll out updates pretty quickly. And so I was going to say that goes back into what Chris was saying. If you are running it and you are going to be in the public beta program, it really is key to give that feedback, to use your bug filing reports. And again, like just like you said, be respectful. Don't be angry that something isn't working, but, you know, let them know about it and let them know in specific details, you know, the things that happen, because that's why they're pushing updates as quickly as they are, because they're getting these reports and they're using them to prioritize and figure out what they need to fix and address and stuff like that. So
my understanding is that Apple actually does look at the bug in the crash room report stuff. It's not just for show, and it's not just to make you feel good.
Well, you say that, but I submitted a bug to say that their EXIF data was wrong going back to iOS 3, it was, I think. When they took cam pictures, they were upside down in some applications because the EXIF data was incorrect. And I wrote to them and said that it was a problem, and it's still incorrect.
Well, I didn't say they actually cared.
did you do it through the developer program, or are you just doing it through feedback?
I did it through developer program. I submitted a bug report, and they did nothing. I can't believe I'm actually going to do this, but Greeny, you had something to say?
Two things. One is I don't dream about operating systems. I dream about other stuff.
Which pops up in your all files, show all files. Yes. Yeah. Go on.
And the second one is, no, we shouldn't be respectful. If it's a bag of shit, you should tell them that.
Well, but betas are. That's what beta stands for. The first word in beta, because it's an acronym, the B is for bag of shit, early transition application. That's what beta stands for, isn't it?
Well, I wish people had stood up when it came to Mavericks and said, what a load of rubbish this is. You know, how
it's
dare
not!
You when it's not even on. Completed.
You're outnumbered, Greeny.
A pile of poo.
You're outnumbered, Greeny. 4-1 here. It's not a pile, okay?
In my humble opinion.
It's the green OS aura that's causing the problem.
It's not. I'm sure I'm not on my own. When you bang this podcast out, I'm sure you all have a plethora of emails saying how right Will is.
We will start a Survey Monkey that says, is OS 10 a bag of, and we'll get yeses and noes.
Not OS 10, just Mavericks.
OS 10 Mavericks. All right, we'll say, is Mavericks a bag of, and we'll get yeses or noes, and we'll read them out in a month's time. So send us your emails and stuff and say that you think it's Maverick's good, Maverick's bad. That's the title of the email, okay? So send it to britishjetnetwork@gmail.com. Maverick's good, Maverick's bad, and I'll give you the percentages in a month's time. There we go. Will started a new trend. The chat room's chimed in here. Greeny wants classic mode back, says Paul.
I do, actually.
Booker, he says, make sure you put your 70 on your wife's Mac first before you put it on your own. And Booker is saying that Mavericks is horrible.
Oh, good bloke.
And the reason might be because Greeny's tried to install it on his Dell. There you go. I think we may have cut to the chase there somewhat. Oh, I've sat on me. I can't hear anyone again. There we go. I've got to do better. I like a wireless audio talkback system-y type thing, but I can't find one that actually does something without giving me an echo. So, Yosemite's coming out in late October, allegedly, in the full thing, and there's going to be a 12-inch Retina MacBook, allegedly, and there's also rumours of a 4K desktop. Now, I don't know whether that's a 4K desktop, as in they're going to do us an iMac that's 4K, or whether they're just going to bring out a display that goes with Mac Pro. But do they really need to? Because I've had this conversation before, you know, if you've got 4K functionality, because you're a hardware firm, Apple have to bring out some hardware that can deal with 4K and not relied on third-party suppliers. And I think it's been missing from the product lineup, but everyone's always shouting me down and said, no, they don't need to bring out a 4K display.
Why would people shoot you down?
Because of me. You know, they send me emails that question me parentage and...
I've wondered what's taken Apple so long to do a 4K version of the Apple Thunderbolt display or whatever they call it now. I want them to stop changing the name too. Can we just call it like the Apple display?
In whatever guise it is.
Well, we can, yeah.
Like every new version. And so I can, what is the current, is it called the Apple Thunderbolt display now? Is that what
they're called? Thunderbolt displays, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I keep calling them cinema displays and I keep getting spat on by kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only reason I would say you're wrong, they're not going to do one, is just the fact that they haven't done one yet. I don't know what the hang up is or why they haven't just done they don't have to do a big announcement. Just a bump. Just, hey, here's the update. Hey,
just a bump from 1080 to 4K is just a bump. It's not worthy of a keynote. What planet are you on? Of course, they're going to milk that for every reckon it's worth.
They already passed their window, though. The next keynote, it's all about iOS and mobile. And
true.
Dude, you got lines from your blind that make you look like you're playing in war games.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Let's play global thermonuclear war.
If they line up with
war.
The shelves, it almost looks like I'm kind of transparent. Ghost-like.
Well,
Google glasses.
It looks like Google glasses. Get them.
If I can.
Oh, there we go. Does
that make it any better or worse?
Now you look like Adamant from the 80s. Excellent. Chris, any thoughts? What's the put? I mean, you're the professional here.
I am.
One off. Well, yeah, none of us. Well, I'm not, that's for sure. So what's the professional view on the 4K display?
Well, I'm with Adam. It makes sense that they should have one. I'm a little surprised they haven't done it particularly. I thought that they would do it when they released the new Mac Pro and say, oh, and by the way, since this is what this machine is really for, here's the accompanying huge display. Because one, we're going to charge you an arm and a leg for the Mac Pro. So what do you care? You know, if you can buy one of these and load it up, you're going to want a 4K display to go with it. And you're going to want it that has the, you know, thin and has those sexy Johnny Ive kind of things going on with it. I do think they're going to do it. If Apple had gotten entirely out of the display business, yeah, sure, maybe not. But since they're still in that game, it makes sense for them to do it. There are going to be people who want a really fantastic looking 4K display that's got the Apple logo on it. So sure, they ought to do that. They could, if they were still going to other trade shows, they might use that as a platform for doing it. I can't see them calling an event specifically for it. However, if they when they next refresh the IMAX, maybe they do a 4K display on one of those. And at the same time saying, oh, and by the way, if you've already got the fabulous Mac Pro, here's this, and you can get your 4K standalone display.
Well, now here's my one question to go to play devil's advocate, if you like, with that.
And then we're done with the show because you only have one.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I won't do it again. I'll toe the line thereafter, Mr. Breen. I do apologize. No, my question would be, Let's go back to the original Thunderbolt displays. You can't buy a Thunderbolt display that's as thin as a Mac Pro, and you an iMac, and you would have thought with the unification of processes and the manufacturing abilities of making things, you know, some sort of similarity and economies of scale with production, that the Thunderbolt display would suddenly look all of a sudden like a Mac Pro without any of the gubbins in to drive it as a computer, an iMac to run without any of the gubbins as a computer. And it doesn't. It's still this thick, deep, wedgy piece of crap. And they've not done a damn thing with the Thunderbolt display in 4 years, I would suggest now, since they went over to the Thunderbolt.
It's not a piece of crap.
No, it's not, but it's...
It's not as cool as it could be.
But yeah, but that, so they've obviously left displays alone for a very, very long period. I mean, we're talking an elongated period of time, because the iMac has been thin and super gorgeous for 2 years.
Yeah.
So why hasn't the Thunderbolt display followed? Open question. I don't know the answer.
I think that they have determined that when you're sitting in front of a monitor, you can't really tell if it's half an inch thick or 4 feet thick, because you're looking at it straight on.
Granted.
The whole thinness thing about their monitors and their iMacs makes no sense to me. It seems to me that you're removing functionality simply so that when somebody walks in a room and sees it from the side, can go, ooh, that's very thin.
Well, that's Apple's MO though as well, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Super gorgeous.
Yeah, they're pretty. I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know if there's something mechanical engineering-wise about this where they need to make them of a different thickness. But I think at a certain point, it's sort of like they're running a supermodel agency where they are so concerned about thinness that they start to lose focus. That's the really important thing, even though it makes for a less capable device.
They just seem like they've left displays alone for a long period of time anyway. Oh, yeah. Windrider saying Thunderbolt came out in February 2011, so it's more than 3 years at this point. Bookery said Apple 4K display needs to come out with a built-in Apple TV. That's called a frigging iMac, dude. I mean, it's...
and it's a computer.
Oh, by the way, yeah, exactly.
And you get a computer with it.
I just think they're missing a trick with the 4K. And I've always said it, and I've always got shut down on it, but I think they should have. I think absolutely what Chris says. When the Mac Pro comes out, you got this funky, super gorgeous thing. And by the way, here's the must-have accessory. Because the people that are affording 6K or 4K for a Mac Pro are going to go, well, I have to simply have the monitor now, love. Come on. They should be doing it. No question.
They should be.
Apple's 36% boost in research and development spending in the earnings call. So whatever they're spending at the moment, I don't know what the actual numbers are, 1.6 billion quarterly, it says in the report that I've got here on Mac Rumors. They're going to increase that, and it's going to be 36%. I mean, that's a third bigger. So, I mean, people are saying instantly, well, that's going to be a massive product line then, surely. Why would Apple shove that much in? Or is it because of the fact they bought so many companies in the last year that they've now got to, they have to shell out more for R&D?
Well, certainly. Okay. So as Apple gets bigger, R&D encompasses not only new products, but also new manufacturing techniques and new materials experimentation as well. So the more things that Apple gets involved with, of course, R&D has got to increase just to keep pace, let alone looking ahead to the other products that Apple's looking to release 2, 3, 5, and 10 years from now.
I mean, one of the things that it points to in the article is the fact that they've taken on a lot of people who are expertise in medical and wearable, but also they've taken on people who are heavily in the fashion industry. Angela Ahrendts, Yves Saint Laurent's CEO, Paul Deneve, and Tag Heuer's Patrick Pruniot. I've probably said all of those names wrong. I do apologize if I offended anyone. But
And don't forget Angela Ahrendts herself.
Yeah, as I said, their salary bill has probably got significantly larger as well anyway.
Sure.
By the people that have been taken in. But would they go into marketing or would they go into R&D?
Well, I think some of them are going to be in management. Some of them are going to be in the R&D side of things. Some of them are going to be on the manufacturing side of things. Some of them are going to be on the Q&A side. I mean, there are lots and lots of especially with the iWatch, it seems like Apple has an enormous infrastructure behind developing whatever this wearables product is going to be.
And yet we've seen absolutely zero evidence that it exists. I mean, you look at the rumors.
We've seen zero evidence that the physical product exists, but we do know, of course, about all the hires and such that say that it does exist.
So
I wouldn't say there's zero evidence that the product exists. It's just we've seen zero evidence of the hardware.
That's an interesting play on words there, and I think you're probably right. But, I mean, you look at the... I mean, there was the, I'm going to double down on secrecy, and then everyone saw iPhone 5S as soon as it was
Well, yeah, but the difference is this, right? Look at all the secrets we got at WWDC, stuff that no one was expecting, and that's because everything was in-house. Mm. The stuff that leaks is coming from Apple's supply chain. It's coming from the millions of hands that are involved in making in manufacturing Apple's products, such as the iPhone. I mean, they're just... too many people involved for any of that to keep secret. That's why we have videos where people have actual products that haven't been assembled yet, and they're doing scratch tests on them and, you know, breaking tests and things like that.
Are you suggesting that Johnny Ive's got a load of midget cobblers back there at Cupertino all knocking out iWatches ready to go? Because there is...
Actually, here's my theory on that.
Oh, good. Go. I want to hear this. This is brilliant.
Do you remember? I've only said this once and I haven't written about it. But do you remember when Tim Cook told us that the product that was being developed in Arizona was going to lead to a brand new ecosystem?
Go on.
Okay. I think it's possible the iWatch is going to be manufactured in Arizona and not in China.
Oh.
Because look at the other bit of evidence here is, look at the fact that the form factor for the new Mac Pro was also entirely a secret because it was being manufactured in Austin. And those are Apple employees. They're not outsourced employees.
Which is why they doubled down on secrecy.
Well, yeah, that's part of the doubling down on secrecy. And I think, I mean, the question is whether or not Apple can marshal a U.S. workforce in an area like Arizona that can make enough iWatches. You know, we all expect Apple to be selling, at least I expect Apple to be selling millions of these things a quarter. And can Apple marshal, because there's a huge difference between manufacturing a few thousand, even a few tens of thousands of Mac Pros.
And early indications from Mac Pros were not good in terms of their manufacturing capability based on the waiting list.
Exactly. And so I don't think that my theory is foolproof by any stretch of the imagination. But if Apple releases the iWatch, or again, whatever it's called, whatever this foray into wearables is, if that is launched this fall and we haven't seen it yet, my feeling is that it is being manufactured in-house.
Right. Anyone else?
I think...
Oh, God, Greeny. I was hoping someone else would say something before you chimed in.
No, all I was going to say, in Apple, in the hands of Tim Interesting Cook, we've got a plethora of exciting products lined up that will be released very shortly and displayed at wonderful events. And I'm really excited about the future of Apple. Led by that magnificent man, Tim Cook. He's so charismatic. I love him.
He's not good on stage. I've got to agree with you there, Greeny, but that doesn't... That, you know, he isn't the company.
No, of course he's not.
Even Jobs wasn't the company.
He's killing the company.
Oh, no. Steady on.
He bloody is. Look at it. I mean, be honest.
Chris, Chris Breen thinks this is an Android show at this point.
Unrelated to the iWatch, though.
Right, okay. You guys, you're all Apple experts, and...
Listen, guys, don't get sucked in by this BS.
No, not at all. Hold on. I'm after a sort of honest opinion, what was the most exciting product you can remember that Tim Cook released, except the horrible, ugly black Pro thing?
Seven-inch iPad, yeah.
Which was designed in the times of Steve Jobs.
Really?
Are you going to go into the world where Apple hasn't released a new product since the new iPod proves that Tim Cook can innovate? Because
no, what, All I'm saying is, it's a nonsense just ask argument. The question, what is the most exciting product since Tim Boring Cook took over that you remember?
Mac Pro.
It's the Mac Pro, certainly the iPad Air. It doesn't even matter, because until we have when Tim Cook has been CEO of Apple for 5 years, and if Apple still has not released something new and exciting, then you can start being critical.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I don't know. Is Ken in this company? In Britain, we used to have a prime minister called John Major. If you look up John Major and compare it to Tim Cook, you'd never see them in the same room. You really wouldn't. Both grey, both boring, both no. I appreciate this is, my opinions are purely my own, but he is a rather dull man, isn't he? I'm sure he's a superb businessman. But since he's taken control,
I agree with you. He's not a front man, Green.
The only things we've seen are sort of a heritage left over from Steve Jobs. That, obviously things take sort of 3 or 4 years to develop through the streams and so forth. What have we seen since him? Nothing.
And what does that mean?
It means he's rubbish.
It means Greenies are scarecrow.
So, all right. So let me ask you this.
We have Greenie on the show to scare the guests away.
Something new come the fall, say the iWatch. Would that therefore obviate or negate your argument?
Yeah, but why would you want an iWatch anyway? What a waste of time they are. I mean,
I just want to point out, Brian, if at any point you get angry, Greenies won. So don't do it.
So I'm curious what the product is. I like Brian's line of questioning here. What is the thing that you want to see them do? Or are you going to bow out and say, well, they have to figure it out?
He doesn't know. That's the point. Greeny has no idea what he's going to have for tea yet, let alone what Apple's going to release next quarter.
I'm not asking what they're going to release. I'm asking what is it that, if it's not an iWatch, flying car? I mean, what do they have to put out?
Go on, Greeny. Give Greeny the Oracle. Tell us what it is that Apple's got to do to change your statement.
To change my statement, well, I'm not visionary like Steve Jobs was, and Johnny Ive certainly is. But the ethos of the company has been dumbed down with this horrible grey cloud, and it's almost like the innovation has been taken away. I mean, what a bag of shit that Aperture is, and I will guarantee you within 3 years, Final Cut Pro what's the other one? Logic will have been killed off and rolled into this sort of banal mediocrity of home user horribleness. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
I have decided that you were genius. You were genius incarnate, because that was a brilliant segue there.
Into what? Follow that. Greeny, you're a genie's ass, and that's about it.
You know it's true. It's like, so chaps, I used to work for Apple, both in both retail and corporate. And we had this wonderful product line of superb servers, sort of 1U, 2U servers. We had a fantastic server product, and all of that has been trashed. It's basically been given away.
Because now no one was buying it.
That was done by Steve Jobs.
But no one was buying it.
Yeah, really. Okay. Well, let's skip it over that slightly.
That doesn't fit the argument, so forget that one.
No, it doesn't, so that's why we can skip over.
Well, you're so screwy there, Chris.
Yeah. But I do feel that they're dumbing down a whole other product range. And as I was saying, I had a beer with Dominic Hollister, and he was wearing one of those, fossil watches. And even him, who is like Mr. Tech God, turned it off because it was a complete pain in the ass, because it kept buzzing every time he had a text or
pebble,
email.
Pebble watches, dude.
So what is the point of bringing something like a watch to market?
We heard that about the iPad. What's the point? Tablet. No one wants a tablet. That's clear. LOL, a phone without a keyboard. Pff, please. I mean, until we see what Apple is doing with the so-called iWatch, I don't think it's reasonable to either extol its virtues or poo-poo its use, because we don't know what that use is.
Right. I think it's more telling to say that Apple hasn't released the product yet. You know, there's a reason they haven't released the product. It's true. Everybody else is.
I think it's going to be interesting if we get to the situation that Brian's talking about there, where they really are producing it in Arizona. And I think the one thing that they cannot do here, Brian, if you're right, is they cannot screw up that first delivery. They have got to have 20 million units sat waiting for dispatch. They cannot be doing, oh, well, it'll be at least 3 months before you can get this.
I wonder how many
this.
Of these things they can sell. I've got a bet with Rocco Pandola at the street that Apple will produce or will sell 40 million in the first year or more. So if it's more than 40 million, it's a success. And Rocco's got to write an article for me explaining to everybody why I was right. And if Apple sells fewer than 40 million, I've got to write an article for him at the street explaining why he was right. And I've gone back and forth. You know, my knee-jerk reaction was that 40 million was a sucker's bet for him to take. And but since then, I do wonder, it's going to have to open up a use case that we have never considered for it to sell even 10 million units a quarter, because that's a lot of units for a category that currently is foundering at best.
Yeah, I mean the Pebble Watch sales are in the couple of thousands. They're not even close to.
And you know, the Gear's a joke. Of course, you know, every with the exception of the Pebble was definitely thinking differently. The efforts of what I've said about Android Wear from Google is that Google has thought inside the box better than every other company. Samsung, and they have looked at what we would think a smartwatch might be based upon today's paradigms, and they've thought about it better than everybody else. But that's not the way Apple does. Apple doesn't look for the existing paradigms. You know, when Apple goes into a new product category, they're approaching it very, very obliquely. And, you know, my personal assumption is that the market that they're wanting to disrupt with the iWatch is not a smartwatch market, because that market is kind of a joke, that it's going to be more of the health and fitness market. And that's the market they're wanting to disrupt. And that might allow them to sell 10 million units a quarter or more.
I don't think it's going to be a watch, definitely. I think that's a given, perhaps, almost at this point. Chris, what's your view on the wearables and where Apple's going with this?
I was going to say that I think one of the things that Apple does really well is they take markets that are a joke and they turn them into something serious. And so I'm not ready to accept that the smartwatch market can't be disrupted. I agree it's a joke. I think that what Google displayed during I/O with a bunch of presenters going up there, particularly the woman who went up there wearing one of these monstrous things on her arm, was embarrassing. It's just too big, too ugly. And I think that's one of the reasons you've got people like Johnny Ives. And they're hiring people who are fashion consultants to say, key to this is that this is going to be a watch that people are going to want to wear. Not just men, but women as well. Yes, it's going to probably do health and fitness. I think it can still do smart stuff. It could, if it's capable of transmitting, which I assume it's going to be, it could tie into HomeKit so that when you walk in the room, it's got a little microphone in it, and you walk into your house and you command it through a Siri-like interface and stuff happens inside your home. Or you even do that remotely or somewhere else and you want to turn up the heat at your home 20 minutes before you get there. You do that by simply talking out loud and it picks it up on this wearable. I think there's a lot of potential here. I think they're still going to kind of brand it as a smart watch that does X, Y, and Z beyond kind of what we expect. So I do think there's potential here. The other thing is that Apple could play this the other way, which is where they don't worry about manufacturing at this point. But they come out, they do a special event and say, hey, this is it. This is what we've come up with. And you'll be able to get it 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, so that that way they can protect the secrecy of the thing by not ramping up manufacturing yet. And then, because they're very good at supply chain stuff, they flick the on switch and then they start churning these things out and they say, these will be available by, you'd hope they'd get them out by holiday time, but if that's too much of a rush for them, they won't. And they'll still sell a lot of them.
I think they can't do that though, Chris. I mean, my view is, if you've got small consumables, they're not consumable, I know what you mean, but they're small consumer items that people will wear and discard within a short period of time, 2 to 3 years, those things have got to go out. They're available for order at the end of this keynote, and they'll start shipping next Friday, like the iPhone. I think if they've got a wearables that's coming out, they can't do this is available in 6 months, because whatever they show, unless they show it's a question mark on top of the keynote, everyone's going to immediately start to try and copy anything that they say about it. So it has to be, this is available right now, you've got to go spend your money now, because there's not going to be a load of fakes coming out by next Friday when these are coming out.
Right, but I mean, I think we look back at the original iPhone, that was not available today. At the end of this
week. But no one was set up to challenge, was
FCC,
it?
FCC regulatory issues.
Yeah,
they knew that it was going to be exposed through
I think
that.
We've read enough history now to indicate that that thing was not ready. The one that Steve Jobs showed, if they'd shipped that day, it would have been crap.
Dude, the 3GS wasn't ready.
Right. Well, yeah, but so my point
I
is
agree.
That,
I think 6 months out
we
is
saw
too far.
That
but
when
I think
we
they could
did.
Do a couple of months.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak over Chris. That we saw the iPhone in January, not because Apple thought it was ready, but because Apple was about to expose it to regulatory exposure.
Right.
So we didn't see it because Apple thought it was ready. We saw it because Apple had to show it or the word was going to get out anyway.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one. I really do. I mean, the wearables thing, I think, you know, Tim Cook sits down and goes, you know, the wearables market, we find that very interesting at All Things D a few years ago. And that clearly indicates that they're working towards something with that. And I think that when they come out with whatever that is, they have to be ready to go. And I think if they are manufacturing in Arizona, they've got significant hurdles to overcome there to make sure they've got 10 million units a quarter, as Brian says, available for them. And if they come out, they will silence Greeny once and for all that they're not doing too bad as a company. Despite the fact they've got record earnings this quarter, eh, Greeny? Yeah, he's running it into the ground, isn't he? How could he?
Okay, but in Greeny's defense.
Oh, blimey.
Steve Ballmer oversaw record quarter after record quarter with Microsoft, and he was definitely running Microsoft into the ground. So the fact that Apple is doing extraordinarily well financially isn't necessarily an indication of whether or not Apple is still able to innovate and can think towards the future. I personally think that Apple is, but I don't think you can necessarily conclude one from the other.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I've always said when Jobs died and everyone was throwing their hands in there, I was like, hang on, you know, no company that turns over this amount of money is one person. Yes, there's a great guy at the helm, but there's lots of other people doing lots of other good stuff below who are still going to be there doing that great stuff underneath. And the death of Jobs is not the end of Apple. It never will be. And the presence or absence of Cook is not Apple.
I've got a very specific argument for anybody doubting Tim Cook. That argument is this. Tim Cook was chosen by Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs told us through Walter Isaacson that he had dedicated the last couple of years of his life to making sure that Apple could outlive him. And the man he chose to lead the company after him was Tim Cook. So if you think Apple is fantastic because Steve Jobs was awesome, one must assume by definition that Steve's choices for who was going to succeed him were also awesome.
As a CEO, but not as a front man at a keynote.
It's not.
Yeah, sure.
It was a sick joke pulled by Steve Jobs before he died. He thought, what's the most boring man that I can employ that will ruin this company? Ha ha, I know the man. And that's the way it is. Tim Burling Cook. That's why it was his last sort of single finger up, sort of see you chaps, and that was that. I think it almost is revenge on the Scully days almost.
No. Shepard.
Is that really bite back at that?
Mark Shepard in the chat room says, Granny, defensible laser first. He's also said, Bookery says, the Wind Rider says it's the eye strap on. That's what's coming. And Bookery and Mark Shepard says, strap on. Remember backwards, that spells no parts. That could be a bit prophetic, Brian, for your Arizona manufacturing. This podcast and all the others, stuff the projects, is supported by the Network Union. They're an absolutely fab bunch. If you work within IT in a large company, then they can help you with a bloody fly in this office. I can't get rid of it. It's probably come out of my boots. With BTM, MPLS, which is absolutely fantastic stuff. I listened to Chris Woods on the Pocket Show explaining what MPLS could do for you. And it's absolutely huge. Gazmaz is dialing in for the big show half an hour early, or he's dialing in for the Mac show an hour late. But, sorry, mate. Come on the big show instead. They do WAN, they do SIP, Ethernet connectivity. Whether you're a BT customer or not, it doesn't matter, because all you can do is get Network Union on board and they can help you with all of those systems. If you're an existing BT customer, nothing changes. All they do is give you the same contract, same support, everything. Your account management just goes to Network Union, and you sign your contract within a different area of BT. That you won't notice anything at the front end of it. So if you're a small enterprise or medium enterprise, then you can go with them for business broadband, and you can check for fibre upgrades, packages, even BT Office 636, 365, and Everything Everywhere Mobile as well as. And don't switch off if you're an American, because Masergy, who've got their HQ in Dallas, are also they're also agents for Masergy as well. So if you're a large WAN user in the States or a small or medium enterprise, then you can still contact the Network Union, and they'll support you through Masergy as well. And you get all the fantastic support off them, and sod off gas. The other people are UK2. If you'd like UK2, then please go to our sponsors page and click on them. They've got loads and loads of offer codes. Now, we had a bit of an outage last week. I was getting ready to go away for work this week. And someone said, oh, is your website down? And I said, oh, yes, it is. Bugger me. So I sent a support ticket in. An hour later, there was a DNS fault. An hour later, we were back up and running. If you want the company who are not just going to sell you a website and walk away, Gaz, go away, for Christ's sake. I'm doing a show here. Bloody hell. Then you need UK2, because it's not just about whether they sell you the service of domain names, servers, dedicated servers, VPSs, VPNs, all that kind of thing, co-location services. It's about the fact that these people will be there afterwards to support you. And I've got to say, we raised a ticket, and it was up and running almost instantly. I got a reply within 3 minutes of sending the ticket through, a critical ticket through. So you really, really need to think about it. It's not just that initial purchase price that you should buy your web stuff through. It's whether people are there to support you afterwards, and UK2 really are. And if you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I don't know whether I should support UK2 because I don't live in the UK, it doesn't matter. You can buy from anywhere in the world and they'll still support you. They're absolutely brilliant, top old firm. Can't recommend them highly enough. So please support them, because they support us, and you can get any show we've ever made. Our server is unlimited for bandwidth and unlimited for storage. So whatever we've produced, it's just still up there. You can go back through all our entries and go back to shows that are 4 years old quite happily. It's back to the Bagel Tech days even. No. Please support them because they're absolutely brilliant. And please also, if you value what we do, let's say you like the Mac show. We get 4 Mac shows a week. So 60 pence, is a dollar, is 25 cents. The show's worth 25 cents to you, give us a Patreon donation of $1 a month. Simple as that. And you get 4 shows for 25 cents a month. What's the money going towards? Well, we're not drinking it. What we're doing is putting it into improving the studio. So there's lighting going up in here. The Northern studio, Paul Wheatley moves into his new house in August, where he's got bigger bandwidth. And he'll have the Pocket Show and the Gamer Show will be going on to live video as well as. And they'll be broadcast out on Ustream, just as we currently do. And the other thing that we've got is the Northern Bash that's coming up as well. So 6th of December, we're all going to assemble in a little village just south of Edinburgh, and we're all going to have a curry and a beer and have some fun. And Gaz, sign in the chat room and sign off, would you? We're going to have the Gamer Show quiz, plain and simple, and we'll have a curry afterwards, and we'll have loads and loads of fun. But all of that's become possible be through the Patreon donation. So the money for help Paul set his studio up in the north has all come from Patreon. Please support us, patreon.com/British Tech Network. It makes a huge difference to a very tiny network that just want to pump out some entertainment every week. Do appreciate it. Right, it's time for the cool thing, fellas. And Mr. Brian Chaffin, would you start us off with your cool thing? You're on mute, dude.
Mute. Ah, look at how that works.
I got it.
I have a free thing.
Yes, mate.
I have a free thing.
I just make noise in the background.
Anyone who pays attention to me, which, why would you possibly do that? But anyone who has paid attention might have noticed that I'm obsessed with Bitcoins. And I've been compiling this list of Bitcoin faucets that let you dip into the world of Bitcoins and just get Bitcoins for free in exchange for loading up web pages. And I have a list of 41 faucets that actually pays, because I actually test them out. And anyone who's interested in Bitcoins can get started without paying money for them.
All right. Okay.
So I'll give you the, I guess I should send you the URL for that.
Oh, just read it out now. Just say it.
Read out the full URL.
Oh, is it like holy shit with a few commas and apostrophes?
Well, it's at the Mac Observer.
Okay, so go to themacobserver.com, look on the blog, and look for the article by you on Bitcoin.
There you go.
That'll do. See, I can go.
Yeah, search for Bitcoins on our search. You'll find it.
If there's one thing I do, it's simplify.
Gotta like it.
Cheers, mate. Mr. Breen, now, are you aware you needed a cool thing?
Yeah, I got a cool thing.
Good man.
I got a cool thing right here. I'm going to show it to the camera. This is called the IQ5. It's made by Zoom, the same people that make the H4N, which
is awesome.
If you're not watching, but rather you're listening, these are field recorders, audio recorders. This is a Lightning connector doohickey that you plug into your Lightning connector iOS device. It's got a microphone on the top. That's this little round bit here. And it can swivel in a couple of different directions. It can go up or down. It's a stereo microphone. It's about $125 list, or I see it's going for about $100. It looks kind of plasticky and like it wouldn't sound very good, but it actually sounds really quite good. I've done a comparison with it, and my regular podcasting mic is an EV RE20, which is like the radio mic of choice. You can download a free app called the Handy Recorder. And if you're doing any kind of field recording work, if you're doing interviews for podcasts, that kind of thing, it's a nice little attachment to take with you, because you end up with audio that sounds pretty darn good. It's not quite as deep and luxurious as a real mic, but it's surprisingly good given the size and the cost.
Dude, I hate this section of the show every week, because all it does is cost me bloody money.
Sorry.
No,
maybe,
awesome.
Maybe they don't sell it where you are. And then... Yeah, they probably do. So it's made by Zoom. And so if you just Google Zoom and then look for the IQ5, you will see, I'm sure you'll see a link to it. I'm going to be reviewing it for Macworld very shortly. There are going to be a couple of audio test files you can listen to, so you can compare it to the RE20. And I think you're going to find that it compares, not the same, but it's pretty favorable, again, considering...
I think the thing with those things is, I mean, I'm not a huge audiophile, but I've got an H4N, which the sound quality of that is just incredible.
Yeah.
I used it as a backup recording for a conference today, and I strap it to the podium and leave it running with just the little two, the cross-condenser mics running, and that's it. And the audio that comes back is unbelievable. It's better than the lapel mics that they've got, and that kind of stuff. So if you're going on kind of like... the product line of an organization, there isn't a bad apple in that product line. And I don't think there is in Zoom. So, that's recommendation as well.
All right. Go on.
Good pick, mate. Excellent. Top hole. $125. Gone. There we go. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm actually going with a Mac pick and a nerdy one at that. So this is going to be a little bit specific, but many people know that I also do web development work. And a big part of that work is doing version control and keeping track of all the changes I'm making to files and things like that. And I use GitHub for that. But You can do GitHub with, you know, just terminal and or do Git rather with terminal and just commands and all that stuff, which is fine. But and there's also a GitHub app. So if you use GitHub, they have their own app. But there is a app called Tower at git-tower.com that I think is the best GitHub or Git app for Mac OS X. So it gives you a graphic user interface. And what I love about it is just how visual it is. And part of the reason I'm picking it now is they just came out with the version 2. And version 2 is gorgeous. It makes sort of tracking all your repositories and linking in with GitHub. And you don't have to use GitHub. It also has support for like Bitbucket and Beanstalk or all these different kinds of services, which are basically just Git servers. But it allows you to track all of your repositories and your changes and to do your merges and check-ins and checkouts and kind of keep track of everything. And it just makes it super simple. And I absolutely love it. So it's a tool I use each and every day. And the new version is fabulous. And also, if you go on their website, they now, I think they've been doing this for a while. If you need to learn how to use all this stuff. So if you're a web developer, or you wouldn't even have to use it for web development. I know writers that actually use Git to, because it's built into your Mac to actually manage their writing, believe it or not, and different versions of books and things that they're working on. But they have a whole help and learning resources section on their site with a bunch of great videos and all those sorts of things to kind of get you up and running with the app and with Git and things like that. So I think they're absolutely fabulous and the software's awesome. So if you're looking for that sort of thing, check out Tower, and it's Tower 2 at git-tower.com.
That's really geeky, dude.
Yep.
Right up there. Well done, mate. Super. Greeny, do you have a pick for us?
Cool. Adam, you know he hasn't listened to a word you said. He's just, he always does it at the end. He just says, that's fantastic.
Most people would glass over because, you know, it's development stuff.
Adam started that, suggesting I would glass over. He sent me an email saying, if you don't glass over, I think you're going to be a sad git.
Well, okay. Tell me what Adam just talked about then. Go on.
Something to do with GitHub. And I know what GitHub is, so.
Version control
for development. There code. You go. See.
Oh, it integrates with Xcode too.
Actually, I've got to say, Greeny very rarely
gets. On all your iOS and Mac OS app projects.
Greeny rarely gets me, but he got me there.
That's going to be the world's dullest pick, hasn't it?
Easy, Greeny. You've had what was yours? It's a bloody ghost inspector, ghost hunter. I paid good money for that sodding application. I've never found a ghost on it. And the other thing as well, recommending the bloody Grand Hotel Budapest thing. What a shite film that is.
That is not a shite film. That is the world's, well, equal to with an L and I would say.
See, Chris has cost me a fortune tonight, but at least it's something that's useful. All the stuff that you come up with is not any bloody use whatsoever.
I had no idea Carl Pilkington was on the show.
Carl Pilkington. Greeny is the British network's Carl Pilkington. That's it, mate. That's the show title right there. Carl Pilkington Green.
Yeah, but at least my pick's going to be interesting.
What do you got?
Well, let's hear it. Come on then, mate. See if we don't glass over.
I don't want to know. You put the pressure on me. It's called Audio Extractor.
And does it extract audio?
It does.
From
that's
what?
Exactly what it does. So I'm a devotee of audio. I love audio. That's my thing. I would, you know, much prefer to listen to sort of Radio 4 Extra or whatever than watch a film in some ways, because I spent half my life on trains and things. And although yes, you can watch a movie on your computer, it's not that good. But when you get in the tube, you can't do it there. So it's nice to have some sort of continuous method of being able to listen to a film or a TV show or something like that. So Audio Extractor, you can basically put a DVD in or whatever film you want to put in there, and it rips the audio off and it puts it into iTunes and it'll sync with your iPhone. So, and if you're like me, who, you know, I love films and stuff, and audio. And if you want to sort of continue the story on the move and there's no way of looking at the video, Audio Extractor will will sort that out for you and put it onto your iPod Classic.
It'd be great for TV series, wouldn't it? Like Dad's Army or Blackadder or something like that, because those are shows that you've watched so many times, you don't actually need the visual to go along with it. You can just listen to the MP3 and still be right in it.
It's perfect for it. I ripped off the whole of the Hancock series. Obviously, I bought the DVDs, but I ripped off the whole of the Hancock TV shows and put them onto my iPod, and I love listening to them on the tube.
Excellent.
Can I lay into anybody else for a little bit or not?
What? Who do you want to lay? There's no, we're a friendly show. We don't lay into people.
His pick was boring and rubbish. And
you don't equalize that by laying into everyone else. You just say sorry, Adam. I didn't mean it.
But it would balance things up a little.
No. We're not doing that. Shut up. You can lay into my pick because I know what you're like.
Oh, you can lay into mine too.
You bastard. Oh, and I've pulled my friggin' earphones out again. I gotta get a better solution. If anyone. Here's a request. If anyone out there has got a talkback system that I can hear from my desk without getting an echo of my own voice, please get it recommended and sent to me. And I don't really care how much it costs, to be honest, because it's pissing me off so much having a cable stuck in my back pocket that pulls out every 3 minutes.
Over the years, man.
Chris was good. Paul Wheatley got Chris on this show selling him, told him it was professional and slick. But no,
it is so far. I'm impressed.
You haven't been listening then, have you? That means Chris glassed over at the start. Jesus. My cool thing, and I go on about these people a lot, Pixel Film Studios, and I said to you, they were picked for me the other week because they're absolutely brilliant, and they've got loads of stuff, but they've got so many that it's almost like you can pick one each week and still have it. If you've got Final Cut Pro, then you need to go to pixelfilmstudios.com and looking at the plugins that they've got in there, because they will absolutely transform the way that you use that as a video editor. And one of the things that they've got that I purchased last week, I was doing some editing for a firm, and they wanted me to do a mocked-up iPad application. And I started off with this idea of just, you know, I found a static picture of an iPad, and I put it in Final Cut, and I made the app on it. And then I found this on Pixel Film Studios, and basically it's a complete editor for images of an iPad. So you pull the iPad in and you can rotate it, you can skew it, you can do all kinds of movements with it that are all keyframed, and you can actually get it to rotate and come to a static point, and then you can start an application on it by putting a green screen effectively where the screen is and getting it to change stuff. It is absolutely brilliant. It's $30, so it's not cheap, but if you buy enough, you get like 70% off some of their stuff if you've got enough in the basket. So you can end up spending $120 and getting $700 worth of plugins from them. But my pick is the ProPad Mini. Was it a plugin? Yeah, plugin for Final Cut Pro. It's absolutely brilliant, dead easy to use, and you've got drag and drop there into a drop zone on it that means that you've got another video that you've made that's still playing on the iPad when it rotates. It's absolutely brilliant. Can't recommend them highly enough. They are superb.
Can I second that?
Well, you like them too, because I thought you hated Final Cut Pro. I did that just to piss you off, actually, more than anything.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I love Pixel. They're fantastic. In particular, their Rain and Storm one. It's terrific, and they do a snow one as well.
Yeah, they've got a Pro Tear one, which is great for little graphics and stuff that tear across the screen and then tear off again with video behind them. They're superb.
They're wonderful. Wonderful film. And a really very creative. And if you're in that field, it will help you out a lot.
Well, there you go. So now that's the way
to
reinforce
it. It's going to be killed anyway, isn't it? And we're all going to go to Avid, and that's the end of it.
Of course. Greeny's right. Mr. Chaffin, where are you, sir?
I am at macobserver.com, and I'm also at geektells.com. It's T-E-L-L-S.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Breen, I'm so sorry.
No, please don't. No, this is good. No, I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Good, man. Come back
I'm
soon.
I'm at macworld.com, and I have, and you can follow me on Twitter at Body of Breen. Mostly you're going to see pictures of me walking on the beach.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And political stuff. American left-wing political stuff, mostly.
Left-wing. Good lad. Yeah. Not Tea Party then.
No.
No. Good man. You can come back then. That's all right. Can't stand the sodding Tea Party.
I'm so embarrassed that you know about the Tea Party outside the US.
Really? Oh, no, you got a bunch of warmongers over there.
I know.
The world hangs precariously at the moment, it would suggest, if the Republicans get back in. And not just the Republicans. There's probably great Republicans, but if the Tea Party get in, you're really screwed.
No.
Utterly, utterly screwed. Chris, please come back, and he's going hell no. But
oh, thanks, I would love to. No, honestly, I really would.
We'll get you a regular slot then, mate.
Please do.
Because we have trouble getting people to say yes to this show. Really? No. Mr. Christian, where are you, sir?
I'm at Mac. Sorry.
It's still you. No, it's still you. It's your own echo.
Wow, that was weird. I'm at MacCast.com. Also, the iOS show, which I do with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston. You can find us there. And then on Twitter, MacCast.
I got my own back on Johnston last week because he didn't turn up when he was shoved on the show, and I just cancelled at the last minute to stuff him. Yeah, it's the only reason I did it. It wasn't because I was busy or anything.
Yeah.
Tell him that when you see him, just to piss him off.
Will do.
And Greeny, where the hell are you, boy?
Well, before I tell you where I am, I'd like to endorse MacCast. Fantastic podcast. If you're maybe you've just sort of switched on to a Max or something like that, or maybe you're a veteran and you just, you know, want to get into the Mac world, absolutely the MacCast, the best podcast in the universe. I absolutely loved it. I've been listening to it for what? Adam, how long has it been going there for? About 8 years, 7 or 8 years or something?
Yeah.
10 years.
10 years.
Well, I've been in through it for 8, so.
Yeah.
So, yes, and I've been listening to it pretty much for all that time. Absolutely wonderful. If you want to listen to a really rubbish podcast about Apple Macintoshes and random rubbish, I would direct you to go to BritishMac.com where you can find my perverse and slightly insane ramblings.
But the only reason it's rubbish, Greeny, is because the most recent one was 6 months ago.
Yes, that is very true. That is very true, and I can't argue with it, and I'd like to be able to argue with it, but I can't.
Good man. Okay. The only man who's been podcasting for 10 years and only up to episode 143.
But they're all good.
No, they're quality, good. Mate. They're classics. They're like Hancock's half hour.
Quality versus quantity.
Except they last an hour.
Well, they have stages, and if you're listening to this, my podcasts are slightly... they haven't got that much to do with computers, but they have got a lot to do with randomness, I suppose.
Thanks, mate. They're quality. I listen to British Mac and I listen to MacCast as well. And I do always say, you've got to get two things if you've got your first Mac. You must get MacCast and you must get Screencasts Online with Don McAllister, because Screencasts Online is well worth the money. It's more than worth the money, because all of the stuff that's out there that you can download, that you can use, a lot of it's free. Don McAllister tells you how to use it, and it's I don't know how much it is actually for Screencast Online anymore, but I'm a subscriber, and you should be too. So please support Don, because the screencasts are absolutely brilliant. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show. Not sure when at the moment, because I've got a lot of work happening next week, and I'm all over the place, and I'm on railway lines at midnight and stuff like that. So we'll fit it in wherever we can. There might be another host, and I might be dialing in on audio, which could get fun, because where I'm staying, the audio's the connection's crap. But we'll be back again next week. Don't worry, we're coming back. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.